Fluoride causes symptoms identical to arthritis.
Arthritic pain is well known as a symptom of early fluoride toxicity. And in fact, you cannot distinguish the fluorosis or early fluoride poisoning from rheumatoid or osteoarthritis. It's very much the same.
Nobody, to my knowledge, has yet looked carefully at fluoridated cities or fluoridated populations and looked at the symptoms of arthritis to determine whether or not fluoride is contributing to this endemic or possibly epidemic of arthritis that we have in North America.
I think there's every reason to be concerned that today fluoride is one of the factors contributing to the epidemic of arthritis in this country. According to the CDC, 1 in 3 American adults have some form of arthritis. That's 68 million Americans.
Supposedly the fluoride exposures in this country are not usually high enough to get to skeletal fluorosis. But again, that's an area that really has not been studied well. I think it's likely, it's not a given, but I think it's likely that a lot of early stage skeletal fluorosis does show up as bone and joint pain, but it's never recognized as being skeletal fluorosis.
If I was an arthritic individual, I would be eliminating every possible source of fluoride exposure that I could think of.
Another bombshell. 2020, just a few months ago, Christine Teal, Canadian researcher, and this is what they found. They looked at the difference in IQ of children who had been bottle fed in fluoridated communities compared to children who were bottle fed in non-fluoridated communities in Canada. The only difference was they both, all the kids were bottle fed. One had, the parents were using tap water, fluoridated tap water to make up the formula, and non-fluoridated tap water. You wouldn't, what kind of IQ drop would you expect? My God. 9 IQ points on the full scale IQ for each 1 milligram per liter increase in tap water. 9 IQ points. And then if you look at performance scale IQ, which is non-verbal, it's called performance scale, non-verbal, 19 IQ points. I mean, these numbers, most people would disbelieve that this study, and I'm sure they're trying now to destroy this study, but it's a bombshell. So now we've got evidence that in the womb, the brain is damaged, and now as an infant, it's damaged. And here's the recommendation from the authors. After adjusting for fetal exposure, they adjusted for fetal exposure. So now we're looking separate from fetal. We found that fluoride exposure during infancy predicts diminished nonverbal intelligence. In the absence of any benefit from fluoride consumption in the first 6 months, it is prudent to limit fluoride exposure by using non-fluoridated water or water with lower fluoride content as a formula. Needless to say, no agency in Canada, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, or any fluoridated country has attempted to get this warning to parents about bottle feeding their kids. Meanwhile, they've not warned pregnant women that there's any problem. Now, this goes back to one of the first things I discovered when I was reading the literature in 1996, when my wife persuaded me to get involved in it. The level of fluoride in mother's milk is incredibly low. And I said at the time, my goodness, nature doesn't make many mistakes. If fluoride was necessary for baby's development, whether it's teeth, bones, or whatever, that's where you expect to find it, and you don't find it. It's very, very low. And so I argue that mother's milk protects the infant from fluoride, and when you fluoridate, you remove that protection. The level in, if you bottle feed, it's between 175, at Well, it depends where you fluoridate. Supposing you fluoridate at one part per million, it's 250 times higher. So I've been saying that. You've heard my talk so many times. I've been saying this now for 20 odd years in my presentations. And now I'm talking to you just a couple of months after the study that we feared most has been published, that there's a dramatic difference on the IQ of the kids.
In a series of experiments in 1978, Schubert showed that if you take enough mercury to kill 1 out of 100 rats, 1 out of 100 rats dies. And if you took enough lead to kill 1 out of 100 rats and diluted it by 20-fold, that none of the rats died. But if you added the lead, an infinitesimal amount, 1/20th of an LD1, and the mercury, an LD1, together, you killed all the rats. That makes mercury and lead together hugely synergistic.
Well, when you put silicon fluoride in the water supply, you're giving the baby lead. And when you have vaccines with mercury in them, like the flu vaccine, you're giving them mercury. So the water supplies of this country are contaminated with silicon fluoride intentionally by a government program. That needs to stop. It's poisoning the babies.
The battle is being fought one family, one physician, one health center. That's why we're doing as well as we are. We're talking about the minority and strategies against the minority. So I have the solution. Every study published in the last 5 years, when you look at vaccine refusers, I'm not talking about, well, hesitants, most of them we can talk into coming to terms, but refusers. We'll just get rid of all the whites in the United States because Houston is the most diverse city in the entire United States. There's 7 Asian languages spoken in that city. I've been a minority for more than 20 years in the city of Houston. The majority is, we call Hispanic. That is not a race or an ethnicity. That is a political designation. But a lot of them are from Central,